Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned into The Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett. At this time, it's my pleasure to turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hey, Terry, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Great to be here tonight and be here with my good friend Clint Calvin, who has joined me tonight, and we're going to talk about a few things. I did want to mention that we are also supported by Jeff's Bicycle Shop and Mid-Ohio Insurance Solutions. So they have your insurance needs and your bicycles from low end to high end. And they do a great job of repairs also. So I wanted to mention that. I am Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. We are a Bible teaching, Bible believing, and hopefully a Bible obedient church. We certainly strive to be, and our number there, if you want to call us, 740-494-2222. Well, it's good to be here tonight, fellas. It's weather's been nice, pretty pleasant, really. It hasn't been all too hot. But you know what's really interesting? It was just a couple months ago that we were saying, when's it ever going to, summer ever going to get here? And now, I noticed my Buckeye tree is I've got like three leaves left on my Buckeye tree. It's done for the year. And
I'm like, looking pretty sparse. It's already got Buckeye pods on it. The ones that weren't going to make it have already dropped to the ground. There's these little teeny tiny little Buckeyes in them. The girls think they're cute.
When I was a kid, we had Buckeye trees at our farm down in Mount Sterling. And those Buckeye trees were probably, they had to be 100-plus years old, and they were just massive. And when they dropped Buckeyes, the whole backyard was covered. And when they dropped Buckeyes, there were so many Buckeyes on the ground that you had to rake them before you mowed, or it would be like driving, having a machine gun going off in the backyard. It was, it could get dangerous. Windows were going to break. It was really crazy. Well, we've all survived another week. Another week of
COVID-19.
Oh, boy. You know, I listened to the governor's presentation today, and it just didn't really sound much different than anything else. Just maybe a little different angle on this, a little different angle on that. I'm still not clear what they're going to do sports-wise. He said they could go ahead with fall sports, but a lot of schools are going to do spring sports. And I'm waiting on them to qualify. They kept commenting that it would be okay for the people to play that were in areas that weren't having an resurge of it. Well, I'm beginning to wonder if he's going to qualify that by saying anyone that's in a red can't do it. You know, the actual report comes out tomorrow. So it'll be interesting to see. But I know I've got two grandsons, and I know a lot of other people that have kids, friends of mine, and I got two grandsons on one team and one grandson on the other team. Clay plays for Buckeye Valley, and Eli and Jonah play for Elgin, and they're both really wanting to play, and boy, have they been practicing hard. And some of the hot days we've had, those guys were just dying. And I sure hope they get to play, but who knows, right?
My nephew's chomping at the bit. He's playing quarterback this year for River Valley, so he's ready.
Is he a senior?
Junior.
This is my youngest first year for cheering for the school, and she's so excited. My oldest, she's cheering as a sophomore this year, and she's on varsity, and she's all excited about that.
All right, good.
My middle girl, she's real into Taekwondo, and all their tournaments and everything have been canceled for the season, and that's really hard on those kids because they work so hard at
absolutely.
And to not be able to compete, it's...
I talked to a guy the other day that was working on the cement over at the construction site in Prospect, and he said his son had been grooming himself to go to state championship in wrestling since he was 5 years old. And here last year he made it, and then they never went because of the cancellation of it.
That's awful.
You know, I've got one granddaughter, Adeline, that's her first year of middle school cheerleading, and of course Clay's a sophomore at Buckeye Valley. And Jonah's a junior, and
Eli
Senior this year. So
yeah.
Well, they play or they won't. That's all we can say about that.
That's all there is to it.
But before we get talking about other things that are current events, you guys may were introduced to this is Clint Calvin. We're introduced to Clint a year ago, and then probably again 2 years ago. Clint survived an unbelievable accident. Bicycle accident. Mm-hmm. Where your face was crushed and your skull was crushed and your larynx. There wasn't much either one crushed.
No.
And had to have your face off a couple of times.
Yeah.
Your head, your,
yeah, seven times.
Seven times. They removed
seven
everything.
Seven times, yeah.
And so it's been a long journey. And at times we didn't know if you'd make it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can remember looking back on, especially when you went through the time when they took your frontal played out,
mm-hmm.
And were expanding the skin to put the new one in, and those times to me, and looking at you, you felt so, you had to feel so miserable.
Oh yeah, it was agony.
It was agony, and also you had. I thought you handled it well because people were looking at you. I mean, everybody sees a Klingon walking around every day.
That's very true.
And it was just one of the oddest things, because they were putting in these saline sacks and expanding them in his head to stretch the skin.
Doing like a graft and stuff?
They were stretching the skin, so when they went back in and put this new skull in, they could pull everything
up and tie it
together.
Yeah.
So
it worked almost as like a template then, kind of.
Yeah.
So
it was difficult.
That was probably out of everything the most painful thing I went through.
Gotcha.
Having those foreign objects, there was three of them, one on each side and then one in the middle. And then once a week I'd go in and they'd add more saline and they would expand. And you could hear the saline running into the inside of your ear. It was definitely an experience.
Weird.
But it was very, very, very painful after that surgery, and very painful. That went on for about 4.5 months until they were able to get my new forehead made. They 3D printed it out of this crazy plastic that's supposed to grow to bone. So,
Clint, last time we interviewed you, for being the wild man that you are,
mm-hmm.
you're somewhat soft-spoken, and I remember playing it back. We couldn't hear you well. So I'm going to ask you to bump your voice just a hair.
I'll do my best.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's really loud when he's chasing the dogs.
But, you got to be with them boys.
Yeah. But it was a difficult time.
Very.
You know, I almost felt embarrassed to even complain when I had my car accident back in December. I mean, I'd be whining about how I was feeling, what I went through, and then I'd think back of what Clint had just gone through, and I think, man, I better just shut up right now.
Everybody's got a struggle, and even though some seem worse than your own, it doesn't make it any less real to you.
No, it doesn't.
Then it takes... I never look at myself as the person to say, oh, geez, what's he complaining about? I have a prosthetic face, and he's got a busted finger. Yeah, nothing like that. No. God is good.
You don't look like you have a prosthetic face.
No.
It's as ugly now as you were.
Yeah. the skin over my eyes is a little tighter. My crow's feet are gone.
5 years.
So I got a Dr. Mark Wells, fantastic surgeon. He God really moved through that man to keep me here.
Back together.
Yeah.
And everything works. With except your sense of smell.
Yeah, no sense of smell.
Which makes it real great when he's around some of us.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
But, no, you know, Clint, I talk about on the show often, and I talk about a lot, about how we're able to go through things in our life with a little more ease and a lot more comfort because we know God's in control and in charge.
Amen.
And the fact that he holds us in his hand... we know that he's not going to let us go through anything that he hasn't put his pre-approval stamp on and his plan on.
Yes.
And how do you feel about that with what you went through? And is that something I'm justified in saying?
Well, we live in a fractured creation. I mean, ever since Eve bit into apple and Adam followed,
they call it the curse, and it's just that. I mean, for generations, people lived on this earth without the grace of Jesus Christ, and they had the law to follow, and I mean, it was all about works and deeds. And now, living in an age of grace, we can't really blame these things on Jesus. You know, was it really his plan for me to break my face, or did I break my face because of something dumb I did?
Well, we got a call, guys.
Well, let's see what we got.
WWGH Radio, you're on.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Are you at the radio station?
Yes.
Was you on the news this morning? Was you on the radio this morning?
I was not.
Can you give a message for somebody?
Can you do it?
I don't know who it was. Whoever talked about Barney Miller at the barbershop between the railroad tracks on Belfaton Avenue.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much. That made my day. I am Barney Miller's wife.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you. Yes. I'm glad you called, and I will definitely.
Yes, I am Barney Miller's wife. Brought tears to my eyes when I was on the way to work. I'm a bus driver from Marion City School.
Great. Okay, well, that's wonderful. Yes. I will definitely relay the message. Thank you for
calling. I don't know who it was.
It probably was Scott. He does a show from 8 to 10. I don't know if it would have been in...
Yes, it was. That's what my daughter said.
Okay.
It was Scott.
Okay.
So I did not get to hear it, but she told me about it because I'm not allowed to touch my phone while I'm at the bus garage.
I gotcha.
So,
gotcha.
Yes.
That sounds great.
Thank you so very much.
All right, sure. Thank you for calling.
Encouraging.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was different.
Yeah.
That was different. Anyway, yeah, you're right. We live in a fractured creation. These things happen. Things are always going to happen, and it's we can do nothing to stop them. You know, it's interesting. Everybody's peace has been a huge word as long as I can remember. You know, people wanting peace. You see people protesting with signs that say peace. Do you know that since man has been on this earth, there has never one single solitary time been world peace? Because man is not wired for world peace. Man is wired for my way. And if you think that peace can be achieved by everyone having it your way, that's the problem, is that, you know, somebody's not going to like your way. I always get a kick out of people that will say, we need to have tolerance. But that's tolerance as long as you're agreeing with them.
Exactly.
And then you're totally intolerant. You know, they're intolerant when you disagree with them. I know as Christians, we're constantly called haters because of what we believe in our heart. And that's not fair.
No.
It's
not a religion of hate.
No, it's never been a religion of hate. And I think that, once again, it goes back to that thing that people don't want to take the time to investigate for themselves. They just want to go with the flow and with what's being said.
Well, I can honestly say that sometimes, especially when the Lord is testing us, maybe it would seem a little easier to someone from the outside looking in if I just asked God to leave me alone. Let me go about my daily business and let me do my thing. And just, you know, I know you're there, but just stay over there.
How can you appreciate a God that's taking you through rough water? I mean, for crying out loud, why didn't he just get rid of the rough water?
Yeah.
And I think from the outside looking in, people can see that and say that. But what they don't understand is that we know those trials produce patience and endurance. And that's what they do. You know, you come out the other end stronger than when you went in.
Yes.
And I think everyone knows, if you're going to build your body up, any bodybuilder or weightlifter knows that, you know, it hurts.
Yeah.
Exercise hurts.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be great in school and study and
it takes work.
It's not fun to sit there and study and work on stuff. I wish I'd have learned that, you know, decided to study in school more than I did. I wanted to study what I wanted to study and what I wanted to study it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anything that's worthwhile takes work. And I think that's why we have such a huge group of people today that aren't appreciating anything, is because there hasn't been work behind it.
Yes.
I know with myself, I had to buy my own car, my own insurance when I was a teenager before I could drive. I had to pay for my driver's education. I had to work to do that. And because of that, I appreciated it.
Yeah, and you took better care of your stuff.
Well, I tried to, but those telephone poles get in the way sometimes.
Well.
I was trying to take care of my car. I bought the new front tires. Yeah. But it had ball back ones.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, I think that's a lot of it. And I think that people look on that from the outside looking in. Many times don't understand why we feel how we do. But I know once you have that relationship with Jesus Christ and you can trust him for the next moment, you can go to sleep at night without great fear. You know, one thing that I've noticed recently, and it's kind of sad, I've talked to some people that have loved ones that aren't well at all. And some of them don't know the Lord and don't have the relationship. And you can just see the anguish in their face and the fear. And while we certainly would grieve a lost one, a loved one, and miss them, we don't have that fear and anguish. And we know where they're going and where they're going to be.
Yeah.
And that it's that not seeing them isn't something that's not permanent.
No.
But I got another question. Very short time. Today. And it may involve all this stuff going on in the world today. And let me do a quick run through real fast. We have anarchy in some of our streets in the country. Yeah. People that obey no laws don't want to obey any laws. We have not just these people wanting to defund the police, but we actually have municipalities in different places and some politicians supporting defunding of law enforcement. One of the craziest things I've ever heard. It's kind of interesting. You know, we have we had a total of 7 unarmed black men shot last year in an entire year. And you want to defund a police department of thousands and thousands of officers over 7 people. It tells you the agenda is a little different than the facts, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
And you actually had more white unarmed men shot than you did. I think there were 11 or 12, somewhere in that neighborhood. But what I'm saying is that's just that situation. And then you've got, you know, the whole virus situation. You have the things closing down. You have unbelievable political pressure. I've never seen us this divided. There is a huge movement to fundamentally change the design of our country, the way that we do everything, the free market system. Everything is under attack right now in wanting major changes to be done to change us from a free nation to a socialist nation. We have, for the first time that I can remember in history, there's more people that don't know actually who Jesus is in this country than do know.
Yeah.
And you'd think that
that's terrifying.
It is terrifying. And I know that from talking to young people. They have an idea who Jesus is, but they really don't know what we would know as a definition from him, say, 30 or 40 years ago. And just so many things. There have been so much disinformation going on in the world. Economic stuff is, we don't know which way it's going to go. We live in a time where the sanctity of life is going right out the window. With so many that I still can't even fathom live birth abortion. The elderly and the way that elderly are being discounted to the extent that they are. But on and on these things go. And what I'm getting at is this: you're a father and you have 3 teenage girls.
Mm-hmm.
Is the youngest a teen yet? She 13?
She will be.
She
will be in 2020,
okay.
This winter.
And I've got 15 grandkids, and the youngest one's a year. And my question is that someone said something to me the other day, and it kind of struck me. They said, I don't know that I would want to bring children into this world right now until we see where it's going.
That's dangerous thinking.
Well, that's why I brought. Let me tell you what a bad host does. I'm going to be a bad host, because a good host always asks a question, knowing exactly or a good idea what the guest is going to say. I'm throwing this out there, and I have no clue what this guy's going to say. So he may just shoot a ball of fire back at me. I don't know. So there's the question.
Yeah.
That's
dangerous thinking. Number one, what you are seeing now are the cries and the screams of a very small group of people. I mean, the majority of Americans, you know, they go to work, they do their jobs, they take care of their families. They're not out in the streets burning stuff down. They're not chopping up their babies. They're not shooting the little kids in the neighborhoods. They just
I couldn't believe that guy last week. Walked right at his front door and shot that five-year-old right in the head.
Yeah, I mean,
because he rode his bike in his yard.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing right now is just a fringe movement. And I think a lot of these problems are going to go away come November. As far as people not coming to know the Lord the way they used to, I blame our school systems. I blame politicians in years past. I blame the parents. I mean, because even back when I was in school, I'm in my 40s, but even back when I was in school, we said the pledge every morning. You know, one nation under God, indivisible. You know, God, who's God? And, you know, there was always a lady down the street that had the backyard Bible school that we'd go to, you know. We were in church Sunday mornings. We were in Sunday school. By the time we were young adults, we had a really, really good idea of what right and wrong was. Not just, well, this is what I want, I'm taking it. This is what I want, I'm going to have it. I'm right, you're wrong. If you don't agree with me, I'm going to hit you with a frozen water bottle.
Those of us, and I talked about this with Terry a couple weeks ago, those of us that have our sense about us and have some moral decency, mm-hmm. that you know, I may disagree with you, but we're going to agree to disagree and still be civil.
What happened
those
to those
people
days?
Need to speak up and say enough of this craziness over here. And I think that we need to tell our politicians, if you're going to support that, you're done.
Ronald Reagan crossed the aisle in 1980 to Tip O'Neill, and he said, what are we going to do to fix this? We had just had four of the worst years in this country's history with Jimmy Carter, giving away the Panama Canal, trying to collapse the economy, being weak on Iran. I mean, he was an utter failure. And, you know, Ronald Reagan crosses the aisle. He and Tip O'Neill couldn't have been further apart politically.
Politically, they couldn't have.
They couldn't have been. But he says, you know, what are we going to do to fix this? What are we going to do for the good of the country?
So
they came together and they did it. And we had one of the greatest economies this country had seen in a long time. What we did not get when Donald Trump was elected was people crossing the aisle and saying, all right, man, you're the man. You won. What can we do? No, instead everything has been a
fight. Get him out of office.
You know, I was no happier than most people that I know that Obama got elected. But you know what? He was my president for 8 years. He was the president of the United States. That made him my president. To want him to fail would have been un-American.
I mean, there were people that said, you know, he's not a citizen, and that kind of stuff that always goes on. But I don't remember anyone literally trying to get him out of office.
Believe you me, if he wasn't a citizen of the United States of America, we would have found out about it.
But the point being that there was never a movement, an organized movement by
effort.
The entire party to get him out of
office. Yeah,
I fear that even if we do have... if President Trump were to be reelected, that it's going to be another 4 years of fighting to get him out of office.
Well, we're going to have to get the House back, and we're going to have to keep the Senate.
The only way we can stop all this stuff is for the people to stop it. I mean, I think that's what we've forgotten so much. We have a generation out there now that, not your kids, but most kids, most young adults, most adults 40 years old and under, think that the government's the one in charge. And the government calls the shots.
That's
and what
just
you don't
not
understand
so.
Is there supposed to be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people? And we are the ones that they are our representatives. I remember when gentleman Joe Biden got in an argument with that one fella, and he said, "Hey, buddy," he goes, "I don't work for you."
Yeah.
He said to him.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, oh, no, you're wrong. You do work for us.
Yeah.
You know, get out of my face. I don't work for you. Well, the truth is, we they do work for us. And I don't care whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, a Libertarian, a whatever you want to call yourself. You better get a hold of the fact that they need to be working for us and not them telling us what they're going to do. Uh-huh. There is no reason that our Congress should have these Cadillac insurance plans and give themselves a raise anytime they want. And as Americans, we sit back and whine about it, yeah, but we don't do anything
no.
about it. You know,
you want to protest something? Let's go down. Yeah, to let's please. Let's protest that.
Let's protest that. I mean, it's not fair. You know, we got to scratch and save if we're working to try to get our medical bills taken.
Uh-huh.
You know, the only thing I've ever fought at getting that I know of, the only things that would affect my credit would be daggone medical bills that get overwhelming at times. And, you know, you got to make sure that's covered. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're honest and pay your bills or what. If you get in some major situation and you can't pay those bills, they still report it.
Uh-huh.
And I know in this situation, the car wreck I just had, that clown had no insurance. He's still driving today, but he had no insurance. And I'm glad that I had, gap insurance they call it? I don't know.
No, you had full coverage with an uninsured driver.
Uninsured driver and whatnot. But if I didn't have that, man, could you imagine the bills piling up that would go to a destroyer?
If you would have been running around with state minimum liability,
I'd be done.
You'd be sunk.
But you know, the thing is that, trust me, our people in government don't worry about that because they have Cadillac everything. And it doesn't really, it's more about staying in power and keeping all those perks and benefits they have. And we need to figure out a way to stop this. But back to the question I fired at you.
Mm-hmm.
I liked your answer because we need to be positive. We can't, first of all, God tells us that we are to replenish the earth. And why does he say that? Because he wants his ambassadors to continually replenish the earth. If all the people that have it together today say, you know what, I don't trust this world with me having any more kids, and we're going to take a break and see where things go. Okay, say we do, and say that it does turn around and things are going great 10 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this 10-year lull in not having any children in that era. That means the only ones born during that time were born to people that didn't raise them, didn't have that, weren't concerned about what their kids were going to grow up in. Now you've got a huge block right there in a voting block that's, you got to keep positive things in all the time.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't keep the mix fresh, the cookies taste horrible. and that's a lot of it. You know, people will say, my daughter Kelly has, Kelly and John have 6 kids now. And people just say, oh, man, in this day and age, you know, I've got a 21-year-old granddaughter, and she has a 1-year-old baby sister. Oh, are these people crazy? And I tell them the same thing. I say, you know what? If everyone raised the kids that this couple is raising, I'd say keep right on cranking them out because they're great kids. They're productive. They're hardworking. They love God. They go, they obey their parents. We need that.
As far as this day and age, 16 to 40-year-old men aren't marching through battlefields with their muskets fighting their fellow countrymen. We've seen worse day and ages. Oh. We've seen harder times.
Well, that is part of the problem, Clint, is that this generation that are out there protesting and carrying on,
they've never had
hard times to understand. They've been told that things aren't fair. They've been told they're having hard times. They've been told that this is a prejudice and that is prejudice. They haven't experienced any of it.
Uh-uh.
So they're only looking for a cause. They're looking for a cause to march on because their faith was never even introduced to them, so they have no hope there. They need to have a cause, so they find one. I don't want to go down that road. Anyway, I was going to say something else, but, you know, it's funny when the very people that you're protesting for are waving their arms saying, stop protesting for me, I'm fine over here.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to make things worse. And we see a lot of that, but, you know, this is the first time in history that we have a generation that has not known some type of total hard times that they've run into.
Yeah.
It's the first time. And you know, then this when this COVID comes out, and I guess that's going to be everyone's hard time. But, you know, the more that there's a lot of, I know there's a lot that's not adding up, and I don't know how this is going to pan out. We can't shut our economy down again.
We know the disease is real. But we know it's real.
And I feel for anyone that gets it.
I do too. I pray for them. I pray every day
we've killed a lot
that God will be merciful.
I think we have killed a lot more of our senior citizens by taking their families away from them and locking them down than we ever would have by leaving their facilities open. The depression in the older people is just unreal.
I've seen it firsthand. Well, and
his mother-in-law, they can't even get to her.
We were finally able to have an outdoor meeting with her 2 weeks ago.
And how long has it been?
Since March.
March.
It's the first time she'd seen any of her kids or her grandkids since March.
Isn't that horrible?
And she's stuck in a place. She's not exactly sure why she's there. She's not exactly sure what's going on from day to day. The days that she does have semi-lucid moments are... They're tough. Being in the state that I was in for just a month, there were times when, you know, the medicine they had me on to sedate me would wear off and things would start to get kind of real. And why am I in this bed? Why can't I move? All these things go on in your brain. And the next thing you know, somebody you've never seen before in your life comes in and puts you back out. Back to La La Land. And
sounds like alien abduction to me.
Yeah, mine was induced by medicine. Hers was because of a massive stroke that damaged an enormous portion of her brain. And it's sad.
It's like Shirley's sister went in for rehab on a stroke and she never came out.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just it's so hard to see families that don't get to be with their loved ones to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much grieving that hasn't been able to take place properly, and there's so much joy that hasn't been able to be shown. And I think all this is far worse than the COVID itself. And the people I've known that have had it, and I do know a couple that have had it, and they've come through it. One in particular showed no symptoms to speak of. And the other one, I think they did more damage when they put them on a vent and they got MRSA
in their lungs.
Hospital equipment than what the other did. Right. And so now I guess they're kind of learning that they were premature on the ventilating of people. Now they're learning they need to push that out as far as possible.
Yes.
Because a vent is very hard on people.
Oh, you got to, so, the throat, everything.
I don't know where it's headed, but you know what I would say? I guess I would tell people, look, trust your God. If you don't have a relationship with him, get on your knees and ask Jesus to come into your heart today.
He'll give you one.
You know,
he's
thank
there.
Him for dying on the cross and covering all the sin you've done and ever will commit. Ask him into your heart, begin that relationship, and then start living your life. Get out your Bible and read it and begin to understand it. People say, oh, the Bible's so hard to understand. No, it's not. I don't think people understand that the guys that wrote the Bible, the apostles that wrote the Bible, these were not
educated men,
high-minded, educated men, but the Holy Spirit in guiding their writing is brilliant. The Bible's brilliant from cover to cover, how it's laced together and how it hooks together. Of course, we know that God did that, but it's not written from a point of view of guys that are trying to write something like War and Peace.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So the thing that people say, I can't understand it, that's just silliness.
And there's so many different translations now, too. I mean, I could see someone saying that if they'd never read the Bible before and they dug out Grammel's old King James, you know, and all of these and the that. I mean, if you read in between the lines, you can get the gist of it. But there's so many great new versions out there that really
are true to the text.
True to the actual text.
But say something that we can understand.
Yeah, in the English language that we have learned for the past 100 years.
I like the ones that are out there that... actually, you can go in the back and it'll say, are you feeling anxious? Here are some passages to look at. Are you feeling you know.
Yeah.
There's actually some that...
good study Bible, daily devotionals.
And if you want to get a great whole picture of the Bible, there's a couple out there that are literally... The Bible's written like a story, an adult story. I mean, for adult level reading, that reads like a story straight through to get... Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not the great for studying, deep studying, but in order to get a whole picture of the Bible, it's fantastic.
It's going
to
give you a really good gist.
Yeah, because some people say, well, I don't know if that was Old Testament or New Testament. Yeah. What is the Old Testament? What's the New? When did this start? When did this end? What's this about Jews being in captivity? You know, all these different things. Well, it reads it out and it puts it in a chronological order that we can you can pick up and understand.
Yeah. History Channel did an amazing job with their version of the Bible.
Yeah, they really did.
They really did it.
Which surprised me, because some of that stuff is like, you know, sometimes they'll have Father John Peter Winkle on there or something, and, you know, he'll be some expert of the Bible, and he's just nuts.
He's off the chain, yeah.
He's off the chain. He may have studied the Bible, but he never studied the one I did.
Yeah.
And a lot of, you know, there are such thing as dare I say, an educated idiot.
Yeah.
I think there's some out there. And, of course, then again, there's uneducated idiots. But I don't want to call anyone an idiot.
Which is more dangerous? Let us know. Call in.
Call and tell us, educated or uneducated. You know, 339-944. I would say the problem is, when people give people credentials and credibility based on something they... I mean, we all know people that have been to school half their life and just...
They can't tie their shoes or change a tire.
So, you know, but no, it's the Bible is something that is there, that's easy to study, it's great to have. You know, we have churches you can go to. I mean, it's there.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something that's the honest truth. And people could say this is just, oh, you're crazy, that'll never happen. If we don't pay attention, we're not going to have the freedom of religion we've enjoyed in this country for over 200 years. Because trust me, there's those that want it shut down. I mean, they've already tried to do in different places, get bills introduced to make the Bible hate speech.
In California right now, you're not allowed to attend church.
Well.
I think it was L.A. County.
I do it anyway. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
Constitutionally, they can't stop you from attending church.
No. We did everything we could to keep going on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, we've been good.
During the peak of this COVID thing, whether we were meeting in the park or we were broadcasting through Facebook, there was a message there for people every Sunday.
Every Sunday. And now we're you know, we've split services. We've got stuff available for people to make sure they feel safe. And I think one of the things that really throws me is the majority of people I run into, whether they're on the right or the left, have serious questions as to why we're doing some of the stuff we're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some diehard people that are really, oh, you got to follow everything, this thing's going to, you know. But most people are kind of looking at this and saying, you know what? This is affecting our lives far greater than it needs to. You know, we can be careful. You know, this thing about washing your hands and covering your mouth when you sneeze and you know, the sanitary things. You know, we didn't need the CDC for this. This is something Mama taught me when I was 4 years old.
And if your mom didn't teach you, you learned in preschool.
Yeah. I mean, we know that. I mean, have common sense, folks. You know, don't come into work if you're sick. You know, if you're really sick, don't come into work. That means that when you're not really sick, go into work. I mean, a lot of times the reason people can't miss work when they're really sick is because when they weren't really sick, they took off and used those days up. So what I'm saying is, let's be straight about when we're sick. And you know what? I know it may be hard. If you're really sick and you can't miss work, call up your church. You notice I said your church. You got to have one first.
Yeah.
Call up your church and say, hey, look, I've got to take 2 days off. I got no sick time left. We're living hand to mouth now. Is there any way we could get some help? And talk to people in the church and get, I mean, it's out there, but you got to plug yourself into decent people doing decent things.
Yeah.
It's the reason the church is so skeptical today is because people will have nothing to do with the church. And the minute they need help, that's who they'll call. And do you think they show up after they get the help? Of course not. And then, you know, that's, The church is there first and foremost to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if we spend all of our time giving people material needs and never share the gospel with them, we failed in our mission.
Yes, we have.
Now, the Bible tells us that we are to love our widows and orphans and take care of them and support them and help them, and that's what we're to do. And we're always to put others before ourselves. But there has to be that message of the gospel within it, because that's the cream of the crop. Yeah. That's what they need. That's the basics, the basis they need to get on their feet and to be whole. So, but you got to be part of that.
You do.
And but yeah, don't go to church. Don't go to church if you're really sick. Don't go to. But at the same time, don't say, you know what, I'm not going to church, I'm sick, and then go
golfing.
Go with some other people doing it. I see that happen too. But
if I don't see it Sunday school, but I find your car over by the links, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
I'm gonna call you.
But you know the thing is, we got to use common sense. Yeah. Use common sense. What I'm saying, don't let this stuff scare you anymore. I saw the greatest cartoon today. It was this guy. There was watching a TV, and the TV said, the news person said, now I'm going to give you some facts to take your fear away. The best way to take your fear away is, and the guy reached up in the next frame. He had shut the TV off and was walking away. I keep hearing on the TV, we're here to tell you the real scoop and not give you fear. And then they spend the next 10 minutes telling the fear-mongering.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what, just shut it off.
A lot of people need unplug.
I've been told to be clean. I've been told to be courteous and stay. And when it comes to my health and others, I've been told, you know, what this is all about, what's truly going on. I think everyone has heard it now about 150,000 times. The news media can please talk about something else. Go on, do a news story. You know, add a few things in. Talk about other stuff. You know, the only thing positive about this whole COVID thing that I know of is we are now, believe it or not, we are now nearing the 1st of September, and we have not had a solid year of bombarded political ads, because they're too busy talking about the virus. Of course, that's so. They want the virus to really be concerns, because they don't want us to mail to do walk-in voting, which we've always done in this country.
Uh-huh.
You know what? Let me tell you something. If you can walk into Walmart, you can walk into a voting machine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And nobody's stopping you from walking into Walmart.
Well, not to besmirch anybody, but, you know, this spring there was an awful lot of people at Lowe's and Menards and Home Depot's and, you know, I mean, hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
No masks, just walking around like everything's normal.
But even with a mask, and you could take 6 feet separation with a mask, you tell me you can't do that in line at the poll, that would be the ideal place to do it. You got X's on, put an X on the floor, wear your mask, go vote.
Go vote.
And then between each thing, have the little workers that are there, you know, wipe it off and go to the next one.
Well, they got aerosols now, too. They can just spritz right over top of that. And
anyway, great to talk to you tonight, Clint. I'm glad you're healthy and doing well. I'm glad you're going to encourage your daughter to have lots of babies. is that what you said? No, I know what you meant.
Yeah.
Terry, it was great seeing you tonight. I look forward to next time we see you. I hope things continually get better.
WWGH Radio LP Marion, Ohio.
Good night, everyone.
The Talking Place.
God bless.
For former coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, Jim Tressel.
You know, it's interesting because everybody knows the story, obviously, of what happened there. But when that all was going down, because that's a rough period.